What a weekend of wrestling in Philadelphia. We're going to talk about all of it right now, so don't go anywhere.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
NXT took over Philadelphia this past weekend. We're going to talk about that, as well as tonight's matches right now on the NXT After Show, right here on AfterBuzz TV. I'm one of your hosts, the Internet's Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. We're a little crazy. It's been a Wednesday. Hey, the hobo!
You know, I asked Alexandria something the other day. You know what I asked her?
What'd you ask her?
Whose underwear is this? Whose is this?
Bill Hancock's not here with us today.
No, he's not.
He's taking care of his kitten. I like to see the parallel of the three-person team on NXT broadcasting had resorted to dropping one of their members at the last minute for various reasons. Same thing with us. I would like to think that we're both Percy Watson.
We are. We are all as impeccably dressed as we can be.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We are glasseted. We are doing the best that we can.
We're both glasseted?
Yeah.
The two of us.
I mean, mine aren't on my face.
Okay, I was going to say, like, presently?
I have them on another part of my body.
Ah, that's what it is. Yeah. Present party excluded, we are all glasseted.
Yeah.
So we are going to jam through.
Jam on!
We're going to jam on the 3 hours of wrestling that was NXT Philadelphia.
And then part of Royal Rumble and the NXT Awards.
No, we're not.
I thought I talked you into it.
No, I was like, no. I want Bill to be here for that.
Off.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about the NXT Awards next week when we're only going to be talking about two matches, a couple of matches, one of them being Adam Cole versus Killian Dane, the other being the NXT Tag Team Championship match between Sanity and Red Dragon, whatever, Fish and O'Reilly.
Undisputed Era.
Undisputed.
Hand signs.
Undisputed Hera.
Hera!
So a Turbo Takeover! Exactly. didn't stop Percy from calling Mauro Nigel. I didn't hear that.
Jesus!
Wow. Not as bad as John Cena's audible during the Royal Rumble.
Or as bad as Nigel going, this is ROH.
Had a great night of Ring of Honor!
Oh, God! Kill me!
I screwed it up! So let's talk about TakeOver. The show opened with Fish and O'Reilly versus the Authors of Pain. No, it was very... I see what you did there. it was a very not action-packed match. It was very slow. It was very methodical. It was very technical.
The tag match. I don't know if it was slow. Like, it got off to a hot start.
But AOP were just a couple of bulls in a china shop, so to speak. It's not an actual expression. Bulls don't do that in a china shop. They're actually very careful.
Well, our friend Bill James, as far as I know, hasn't. I think those charges were dropped.
I think so. Yeah. I think we can talk about that now. I think the statute of limitations were dropped on that. But they waited for their moment. They found their moment and started picking off the knee. And this match grew on me. I wasn't directly into it at first, but it was a very well thought out and executed match.
Yeah, no, and that is one thing Undisputed Era brings to the table is method to their sort of, I don't want to call it stupidity, but with Kyle O'Reilly in there, it's kind of stupid.
Yeah.
He's just kind of goofy, but when you've got like Adam Cole and Bobby Fish in there telling you what to do, you too can be a genius at wrestling. So it actually paid off.
Genius by proxy?
Right.
Yeah.
And you have to admit, he was able to really tie up the legs of,
This is distracting, isn't it?
Yes, of Rezar. Rezar was the one who had the knee issue, I believe. And at one point he put it in a very, very solid knee bar and switched it so that was a full knee extended knee bar. It was... I've been in that. That is one of the least comfortable locks I can possibly remember.
Yeah.
So, what are you doing?
What are you talking about?
You're like, I don't know. You were looking at me like I had something on my face.
You do. It's your face. It makes me uncomfortable.
Oh.
Moving on, because we got to go turbo time with this. Turbo Takeover. Velveteen Dream versus Cassius Ohno. What a heavy hitting match.
We didn't even get to the finish, though, of the tag match.
Yeah, we did the roll-up.
You said it wasn't just a roll-up. It actually was probably my favorite finish of the night.
Why
because
so?
it worked well against AOP's strength of power. The Super Glider, one of their really well-known signature moves. Mm. Rezar, his injured leg, and the moment of collision between the two threw him off and was able to turn it into a Hurricane Rana, knocks his partner out of the ring, Akam out of the ring, and then the roll up 1-2-3. It was essentially, it's what the match had built to. They had destroyed and broken down that knee to such a degree as to where this finish was possible. I think they had a plan from the moment they saw it. They went, okay, here's what we can do.
Yeah.
And it worked.
And how long of a reign do you see for Fish and O'Reilly?
It's hard to tell.
Yeah.
AOP were dominant of the dominant, as far as tag teams are concerned. So
they were top doms.
They were the tops. So it's interesting to see what else could possibly happen. I don't know. Sanity obviously has still got a dog in this hunt. They're not done yet. So, but I don't see Sanity being able to do it. I think it's going to have to be some sort of ugly, very personal match.
Yeah.
That's going to finally be the thing that splits the Undisputed Era. Because they're really sound together.
Well, I don't mean splits, just ends the reign.
No. That's what I mean. Okay. But you have to separate them.
I see.
They work so well that you have to separate them in order to beat them. And there has to be something devastating so that there is one left in the ring and there is no escape. That is what it has to be.
Well, I look forward to seeing when that happens because we just got to keep moving. Velveteen Dream, Cassius Ohno. Velveteen Dream, I think his... Like, I say hot streak, but his hot streak started on a loss and only went further up from there. He now has a couple of Dreamers. No, there's a better
way. But their hearts are gold.
There's a better way to say that. But he had a couple of hangers-on.
Well, no, I don't know quite what to call them. A valet and a...
Pillowman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a massive genie.
Yeah,
a Blaster McMassive genie.
your hand's showing. But I agree in chat... his knockout celebration was hilarious because he promised before the match that within 30 seconds he was going to knock out Cassius Ohno. So in the crowd was counting down and he knocked him, rocked him, sat down and was like, I won the match! I did it!
Well, no, he was like, count, ref, count! Because he couldn't pin him. Ohno was in the ropes.
But I also don't know why... The ref did because he was in the ropes. The ref couldn't count either.
I think that's arguably why. But in the same token, I thought everything leading up to this match, Dream's entrance was everything I wanted it to be. He personified the idea of boxing. He changed up his gear. He was wearing boxing shorts. He was what boxing is now, and it's why boxing and wrestling, to me, are sort of close cousins. It's the spectacle. Boxing loves it, and wrestling is it. So here they're borrowing from each other, and in this moment, Velveteen Dream becomes the ideal boxer that even he sort of looks like a boxer. He's so lean.
Yeah, he's so lean.
So lean. And his chest isn't overdeveloped, which in boxing you can't have an overdeveloped chest because you need to bring your elbows together.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm not a boxer. but yeah, I thought it was...
That hobo chest.
Yeah, a lot of meat there.
Yep.
I thought it was very well executed. I liked the mouthpiece. It didn't fit very well, but that fit in... Him not being a boxer, your mouthpiece doesn't fit.
If he was going to do it, he's going to go the full way and be like, if I'm going to be a boxer, I need a mouthpiece.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he had a giant man with a pillow delivering.
With a tiny purple mouthpiece.
And I love the moment. It's in the middle of the ring and he goes to grab it and then Ohno kicks him and it flies.
Yeah, it's like,
no, we are not doing that.
One of the things that I think Cassius Ohno, he needs to go back to the well on, he relied on strikes so heavily One of the things that was a little unfortunate is they put out a really nice video package on him that I loved. I absolutely loved it. Like, we have our fun here, but no denying that Cassius Ohno has an amazing career and has had an amazing career and an amazing history.
And he's well-loved in wrestling circles.
Yes. So, and with all of that, as well as how studious he is and being a student teacher, as they called him,
yeah,
at the Performance Center, I was really looking forward to, like, oh, they're good. He's about to cast off this skin of, oh, I'm going to go for an elbow and then a spinning kick and then an elbow again, and I'm going to hit you really hard with my elbow. But right now they're going for the KO thing. They're going for the KO gimmick.
He had his rebranding, his logo was, I really liked it.
Wasn't that the Pacers? Wasn't that an old Pacers logo?
It wouldn't surprise me, but I didn't notice.
I was like, oh, it's a new shirt, it's a new look. Yeah. I like that, but I was like, wait a minute, that might be the Pacers.
I'm not sure.
If you can correct us in chat at some fun.
But in any case, Ohno looked slow. He's a student teacher. He's got 18 years in the game. He looked slow. And Dream, being so much younger and so much hotter and so much of a lean machine, was kind of eating Ono's lunch for a lot of it.
Pepsi Fan 24, what's up? Love you. It was weird hearing Philly kind of boo Ohno just because of how hot Dream is right now.
Well,
and in general.
I mean, that's Dream. I don't know. Ohno didn't bring it. He just didn't bring it for the match.
I think because this was like 2 weeks, a week or 2 weeks announced, you know, Dream is ready. He immediately latched on to, like, KO. Who is this person? Oh, with Knockout Artist. Artist? What? Hell no. I'm an artist. Knockout? I'll show him. And it seemed like he, no matter who he has to fight, he fully sinks his teeth, like he's slowly and erotically eating a peach into his opponents.
Juicy.
Cassius Ohno. That juicy ass. That juicy peach. Cassius Ohno.
You look at the man, you go, that's quite a peach.
But that's the thing, is Dream was much more in it, and it showed. He put the extra work in and made not only an entertaining spectacle, but an entertaining match, and he ended up going...
I don't know if Ohno has anything to prove. He doesn't have anything left to prove. Mm. Such a long career. But Dream's career is just starting, so every match to Dream is incredibly important. Mm. It is important that he not only shows that he's the best, but that he gets the win. It's all vastly important. Win or lose, he's got to make a show of it. And that's why he's always there. He's always present. He's young. He's hungry. And I think Cassius Ohno needs to start working with a little bit more disregard for his fellow man. He's got to start working a little bit dirtier. You get older, you get slower, you have to take shortcuts in order to stay competitive.
Deeper chip in his shoulder. Yep, let's move on. Ember Moon versus Shayna Baszler. This, like, we had some predictions about how we thought the match was going to go on this show, but the way that it turned out ended up working in, it's like, oh yeah, this is kind of what I saw, but they did it much better. I like the direction that they took with it and how they're being like, yo, this ain't MMA no more, sort of a thing.
Yeah.
And I like this rivalry because, as Shayna said in her post-match interview, do you think this was all about the title? She made a statement. Ember is hurt. Without a doubt, we'll talk about it later, but we saw her in the Rumble. She is hurt. She is down.
Yeah.
So to utilize that and utilize that opportunity in that grand stage, while she looked like she was devastated at the loss at the time, I think the plan was to hurt her and win. Either way, she got something done.
Well, I think the match, it turned out okay. I thought it actually exposed Shayna a little bit. I don't think she's quite ready for that level just yet. Having her first match on television for NXT at a takeover in Philly.
Because she had a match.
But
where she killed Dakota Kai.
Right, she completely, like, mass, man, just the arm, ugh. But this was a lot for her to take, and I think it overexposed her just a little bit, but that's okay because she lost, and it's a learning experience for her. Mm. And in the end, she did what so many have done before her. You know, beat me if you can, survive if I let you. Went out and then just choked out Ember Moon.
It's a good line. She should use that. It's new. It's fresh.
It's new. It's fresh.
She should also put a 13 in that big spade that she has on her video. Anyway.
And instead of the horses, make it a heartbeat.
There you go.
A flat line. Yeah,
that'll do it. Sharkosaur. Ember sells at an almost Banksian level of brilliance, which is just a wonderful term, and I had to say Banksian level of brilliance.
Banksian level.
Where you don't know if she's dead or not. Oh God, will she make a good show out of it? But I like this. Do you think Shayna goes back to the bottom of the barrel?
She was at the bottom at one point. All she had to do was choke out and abuse everybody else to sort of get her way. What's going to stop her from taking that route yet again?
Different barrel. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, she had a short climb with how she was able to do it. So if she wants
on the backs
to,
of other
she
people.
Can, absolutely. She can just keep doing that again.
Yeah.
It's one of those things of, in order to get rid of her, you're going to have to get rid of her.
She's
going to
have to die. Moving on. Speaking of having to die, Aleister Black and Adam Cole it's not a hardcore match.
No disqualification. Yeah.
Anything goes.
I don't know.
Hardcore rules match.
Gnarly. Just Philadelphia special.
Extreme rules match.
Yeah.
Because I remember the logo. It was like an extreme rules match.
Cheese steak on a pole match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why did that matchup fall in my head? Anyway, I thought that it was going to be spectacle, and we got spectacle. A lot of the hardcore moments in it were just disgusting.
Well, I mean, it paid dividends in that regard. As I said, I didn't think Aleister Black needed the weapons, and he didn't feel he needed the weapons either.
You're so stupid. You are dead.
But then Cole got caught right after that. But then Cole, being he's got timing, God bless him, hit him right out of the air with that kendo stick of the moonsault.
But
very well timed.
We were talking about this earlier. A wonderful crowd interaction moment is, first of all, the creativity. Like, I thought this was going to be a regular WWE Extreme Rules match where it was going to be a couple of kendo sticks, maybe a chair, and that was that. But we got tables, we got stairs, we got trash can. The trash can wasn't...
Yeah. Well, Cole nicked it a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
And a weird box at the side of stage that people thought Tommaso Ciampa was hiding in.
That's weird.
Yeah, it was Rosenberg, but the fact that it's like, oh, that's good. They can use that. They used it as a diving spot, a little bit more security. But a lot of good close-ups and lines and audibles and this and that. The creativity that we're gonna do the two chair spot, but we're gonna flip a musical chair style so that it's the point, and everybody just slowly going.
It was like, how do you take something bad and make it worse? Oh, well, you put a point in the middle where you can stab a guy's spine. That makes it way worse.
Sharkosaur wins chat again. Messed up that Adam Cole was in the Rumble, but Michael Cole didn't even acknowledge his son.
Yeah, sad.
Second generation superstar Adam Cole.
Yeah, it's sad.
Oh, that was good. But, dude, he gets the Death Valley Driver onto the point of his back. Everybody collectively goes, and then the crowd chanting, "You deserved it."
Yes, everybody knows Adam Cole is terrible. He's a terrible person.
What an ass!
He's very well gifted. He's a good talker. Mm. He's handsome. He's a decent wrestler.
Clean,
but he knows
Cole.
All of those things, which makes him a horrible human.
Yeah.
So people like to watch him, and then they like to watch him get hurt.
Oh, we also had the blood where he sliced his hand, but it was also like you saw a little bit of blood on Aleister. You saw a little bit here and there, and you're like, wait. What?
He cut his thumb on the table. I actually think I know how he did it. There's a little bar that keeps the legs up. I think he ran his hand along it and
just
went
sliced, like
God.
Paper cut, but it was a metal cut.
Right, and it went deep. Worse. And actually, it was nice that they had a moment where he could roll over and just have The doctors tape his thumb real quick to keep it from bleeding everywhere.
Yeah.
Because it must have been deep, because there was a lot of
blood. There was a lot of blood.
For it being a hand wound, there was a lot of blood.
Because when they were sort of slowing it down to sort of check on him and everything, the crowd started booing because we've been in those crowds before of the blood man of Samoa Joe. Like, that was a lot more overt. That was,
yeah.
But it was still just like, this is an Extreme Rules match. They can't stop an Extreme Rules match.
In my opinion, it only helped put Adam Cole as a character over. Mm. Even if he had a paper cut, I imagine Adam Cole would stop the match and go to the doctor.
Yeah,
I got this. I got my hangnail.
Eventually, the rest of Undisputed Era comes out, helps, but then Sanity comes out and makes the save. And Shark Sword brings a really good point that I also was sort of thoughtful of. The only thing that held this match back for Sharkasaur was that Nikki didn't get her hands on him, even though they set it up, and even though the rest of Sanity was out there. So that made me think, not remembering that Nikki and Lacey Evans happened on the quote pre-show, and that made me think that, oh, they're saving her for the Rumble so that she can make a huge splash and be crazy on the network for $9.99 2 days in a row. But yeah. A wonderful match. Aleister Black ends up getting the win.
Black Mass missed its mark, did not hit the head, hit right in the armpit, which is a testament to how strong the Black Mass really is.
Yes, like separated shoulder from below.
Well, no, it's the ribs.
Yeah,
it's your
cracked him.
Right, if you hit somebody hard enough in the ribs, especially in this spot right here, it's really easy to kill somebody if you apply a lot of pressure right in the armpit. It's
anywhere,
a natural,
really,
soft spot. Well, no, but especially in that. If it's not the throat or the head, this is a natural soft spot, and you can kill somebody real easily. And that's what the Black Mass did. Applied a lot of pressure right in the ribs, drove all the air out, maybe cracked a rib. And he couldn't get all his air back, and as a result, that was it.
You just need to be down for 3 seconds. That's
absolutely
all it takes. You learning some of that on your compound, are you?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How to kill a man?
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get to the main event.
Kind of threw that away. Learn to kill people? Sure.
Yeah. Why not? I help where I can.
You aren't?
Yeah. It's part of
that's
life.
That's what you do.
That's what we do at the afterbus.
That's what happens when you live in an apartment. It's hard to find enough storage space.
It's true.
Yeah.
You'd have to get a second space for just the bodies.
Refrigerated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to keep the air going the whole time.
Yep.
new viewer that I don't recognize, June Giovanni, who is joining us in chat, had a comment about the main event of TakeOver, which is why I said main over. What an incredible main event at TakeOver Philadelphia to me, and in my opinion, a solid 5-star match, 5-star emojis as well, an extraordinary match, and the greatest I've ever seen in this decade. Now, that's a lot. That's huge.
You're obviously somebody with a very kind heart.
And if this was 2020 and the first TakeOver of a new decade, I would probably say that.
All right.
But that's a lot. Either way, regardless.
It was good.
What it was a main good. Event. I've said it a couple of times. I said it on Xbox 1-360. I did not go into this match with high expectations. I went with solid expectations. Like, this is going to be a good match. But oh my God, what a main event that Gargano and Almas put on. And I said it on Twitter, I've said it to you, I said it on Xbox, I'll say it again. The moment Almas, his music hits, he's got the new graphic with the double A's that form the C, the mariachis come out, they're all wearing luchador masks, he comes out in the La Sombra mask, and he's got the title around his waist, and it was a moment where I went, there's the champion. That's the NXT champion. You all better stop. Get on your flipping knees. Bow to your champion. Here is this man. And it's a feeling that we've been wanting to get from Almas since his debut, because he came in with such pomp and circumstance and feathered hats. But this appearance and this match is like, can cement him as one of the greatest NXT champions of all time because of defenses like this.
Yeah. Honestly, it's, and they were talking about on a commentary how he has got this chip on his shoulder, third generation star, but no fanfare. And a lot of people didn't think he could win, consider him a paper champion because the fact that, who
Zelina?
Did he beat?
Oh, Gargano?
No.
Drew
Galloway for the championship.
McIntyre.
Get!
You're not the only person who did it. Don't worry about it.
He beat him, but was not able to defend in a rematch. He's only a champion on paper. He's got this massive chip on his shoulder.
It's still disputed technically because Drew hasn't gotten his rematch.
Right, and it's a contractually obligated rematch, and he may not be able to capitalize for quite a while if he's still holding the belt. Being CN,
but by the time he gets there,
so. I think he's got all of this angst built up, and he wants to come in and show that he's a real bona fide champion. Mm-hmm. So he's got an entourage. He's got this whole thing. He wants to be a champion, and so that is what I feel we got tonight.
And I was a little concerned because usually we saw it that this past takeover and at the takeover before, where the champion comes out with a big entrance, a big show-stopping takeover entrance, and they lose.
True.
And he came out with an entrance, and I went, wait a minute, Rude did it, McIntyre did it, he's doing it.
But they didn't have a Zelina.
True.
And that's what makes the difference.
The champion
is allowed to focus on being the champion and focus on his in-ring work while his manager is able to set up all of the extra stuff. Mm-hmm. As a wrestler, you have to split your time, most of the time, between your training, tape study, and then setting up whatever elaborate entrance it is that you want that portrays who you are. But when you have a manager, you can give all of that to them to take care of. So now he's able to focus on being champion, training, studying tape, and as a result, this is what happens. Mm-hmm. You get a very solid title defense against a very competent opponent in Johnny Gargano. He's very talented, but I've said it before, and I'll say it again, he lacks what it takes to win a championship. Mm-hmm. He just does not have the fire it takes.
I would compare this main event, because a lot of people, Sharkasaur says it's the best NXT men's title match in years. Optimus Provost, this is definitely one of, if not the best takeover main event ever. Yes, we are Joe in a moment. But I wonder if something that I would compare this to is Sammy Neville.
Yeah.
But the underdog won that night.
Right.
Also, Balor Joe takeover Dallas. Remarkably phenomenal. There are a select number of few. I was even Bo Neville ladder match.
Yeah.
Really good. But this is one of the few where this is one of those show stealer matches that happens in the middle of the show, but it was for the title.
Right.
It was something like that.
Yeah.
Which is a little like if Sammy Nakamura was for the title, it would be a match. It was a match like this.
But in all of those other cases, those matches that you cited just now, I found myself aligning with the challenger. Generally, rather than the champion. Mm-hmm. And that is because of the fire that the challenger possessed. They weren't afraid to get angry. And that is the one thing Johnny Gargano doesn't have the ability to do. Mm-hmm. He never uses emotion to turn a tide. He's very good at wrestling, and he's very capable, but he never gets angry. He never loses his temper. And every single one of those people eventually looked their opponent in the eye and said, "You hit me again, and I swear to God, you're going to the hospital."
Yeah.
Johnny Gargano does not have that.
He was on autopilot.
So I watched this match, and after a while of watching Johnny Gargano get hit in the head, I went, yeah, hit him again. Hit him harder. He had blood on his nose, he had blood on his mouth, and I went, good, good. Somebody is bringing it to him and challenging him to bring it to them.
Yeah.
Somebody has finally stood up to him and said, you either have to grow up and actually hurt me, or you have to lose. And you get to choose. You get to make the choice. Mm-hmm. And he made the choice. He lost because he wasn't man enough to get angry.
In along that line, on the other side of it, I was not concerned. Me having all of those feelings that I did when Almas came out, and then Johnny came out, and he same music, same reaction. Seeing the Gargano section, I'm going, that's pretty cool. I wasn't worried for Almas at all. I like, and it, that's a weird thing to say, right?
Yeah.
Here's this haughty, better than you, thinks he's better than you guy who's like, I am the hotness, and it's just because I'm the champion, I earn this. But he, like, he's just this haughty son of a gun that we've known him to be, and yet when Gargano came out, I went, oh, he's got nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
He's going to prove himself right, and he did.
Yeah, he did.
And he proved it even further right by showing up in the Royal Rumble the next night.
Yeah, and that's because of Gargano. It almost takes liberties because Gargano lets him. He lets him take liberties.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens. This is what happens when you decide that you're a victim. You decide to victimize yourself. And it's always on Johnny Gargano's face. It was multiple times in this match when Zelina got involved. At the very end, when Ciampa hit him in the back, it was this look on his face of, oh, what happened to me? Oh, no. Why does this always happen? Don't you get angry? Don't you feel feelings? Where is the rage? Where's the indignation that these people are putting on to you things that they think fit you? Where are you? Why are you allowing this to happen? And that's why I can't get behind him.
Yeah.
He allows people to do this to him. He allows it. He doesn't get angry. He just sort of sits back and goes, well, I tried to wrestle him and it didn't work. Yeah, well, that's what happens.
You've been holding on to that Gargano this whole time.
I didn't even know it was there until I started to watch TakeOver, and I went, that is literally the voice that fits that face. Oh, what are you going to do?
I guess I'll
wrestle again next time.
So
at least you love me, Candace.
So, speaking of... speaking of faces in the crowd, Joe Loco wanted us to talk. Hi, Joe. It's been a minute.
Hello.
Wanted to talk a little bit about all of the folks that showed up. So we saw War Machine.
Yep.
We saw Candace.
Yep.
We saw...
Candace got involved.
Candace did get involved.
And she's got more fire than her husband, so...
Anyway.
What is that going to tell you?
She had more of a reaction to Ciampa hitting her husband than...
Yeah.
He did.
Oh, no. Was that a crutch? Am I bleeding?
Tommaso Ciampa returned. He still had a leg brace on and is kind of limping around. So
he's yoked from the waist up.
And he's got a new shirt.
Hey, man. He looks like Rick Rude from about the belt line up. What are you gonna say to that?
Yeah. but I think Ricochet also showed up. Trevor Mann.
Richard O'Shea.
Richard, yeah.
He's known as famous, his full name.
Famous Irish wrestler Rick O'Shea.
Yep.
But the most surprising one, EC3 showed up.
Yep. And honestly, I'm really surprised they let him go ever. It seems like he is supposed to be here.
Yeah.
Like
as planned. Oh, why WWE let him go?
Yes.
Okay.
Like he's always had a body and a look, and he's handsome, and he seems so self-assured. Maybe things have changed.
He needed a little more time in the oven.
The last 5 years.
Because even looking at Derek Bateman versus EC3, you're like, is that somebody's little brother?
Yeah.
Like they have a completely different presence about them. I'm really excited to see what he does. They did confirm that he is an NXT signee. But everybody was like, oh, I was hoping he was going to show up in the Royal Rumble.
Well, I mean, a lot. It's interesting you say, you know, he's such a different man. Because when people are hired by WWE and then let go by WWE, there is a growing up process that needs to happen once you leave WWE. You have to decide whether you love wrestling or you just loved working for WWE.
Yeah.
And it's the choice you make that allows you to become the wrestler that you're going to be.
Yeah. Ciampa rehabbed his knee and his beard.
Sure did.
Oh, boy. Ciampa is the 205 Live member of War Machine. Hopefully not. Regardless, super excited to see what happens. We've got a lot of stuff to continue talking about. So in terms of the Royal Rumble, we had Almas show up, And I was...
Put in good time, too.
A lot of good time. He was in like there a good while. 30 to 40 minutes.
Yeah.
He was there for a fair
and
amount
after,
of time.
And after this match, like, that's okay. That's a lot. All right.
Chill out.
Just showing off a little
but
bit.
But even more so in terms of after this match, Adam Cole showed up just total. When I heard Shock the System, I went, this is perfect.
Yeah.
What a great place for him to show up, even though he was bandaged to all hell.
Yeah.
Not his hand, his stomach.
Well, no, his hand,
a
too.
A little bit, but... like the fact he's selling the anime injury, the anime injury. Oh, he's got bandages on.
That's the problem of a back injury of that nature is your entire core, as it's known, is both your abdominals and your back. Mm. So if you hurt your back, it affects your abdominals, and you can't move as well having the damage to the area, both front or back.
Yeah.
So that's what that is.
But. Adam Cole getting thrown out by Rey Mysterio was pretty... Like,
what, if you're going to get thrown out by anybody, may as well be
what
Rey Mysterio.
A matchup, like, especially in today's current age of wrestling, where Adam Cole, where he was before NXT, and then how stringent, supposedly, the Lucha Underground contracts are, where it's like, oh, we're never going to see Adam Cole and Rey Mysterio. We saw it at the Royal Rumble last night. Are we going to see it again? Probably not.
Got a taste of that.
But
that
we got
cool.
We got a little bit of a moment there. Holy crap. And then the picture of... Almas and Zelina with Rey in the back.
Oh, the whole Lucha set?
That too, but even just the nod of Mysterio with Almas.
Yeah.
Was just like, exactly! Yeah. That's the future right there.
Yeah.
Like, I did not expect myself to get this fired up about Almas when he first debuted versus now, where it's
He's
like, it's working!
He's a different friggin' guy.
He's a different person.
No one has gone through more evolution. Maybe Patrick Clark has gone through as much evolution.
Who's that?
Exactly! Okay. Say my name! That's the Velveteen Dream.
Goodness gracious. I guess our connection's going weird, so stick with us if you're watching this after the fact, if you're watching us live. If you're watching us after the fact, cool, then you're not experiencing it, but if you're watching this live, sorry, stick with it. We'll do what we can. We just have to rush through. And then the Women's Royal Rumble, Kairi Sane, awesome.
Yeah.
What a place to show up. And then Ember Moon, also injured as hell, but we got a face-off between her and Asuka, but Ember's still not ready for Asuka.
She never will be.
Never is, and never will be.
I mean, really, I don't know what else to say.
All always one was, and forever will be, an endless cycle of self-destruction.
Yep.
Cole shocked the YouTube system. Nice. Great weekend for NXT. Wonderful weekend for NXT. We're gonna just speed through the matches that were tonight. Just because we had to talk about two and a half shows tonight.
Yeah.
Nikki Cross versus Lacey Evans. This, it was just a lot of crazy ground and pound from both sides, but I figure the erratic nature of Nikki Cross, speaking of not being ready for somebody, I don't think Lacey was prepared.
I wasn't prepared for the new Lacey. She came out of the ring, I'm like, who the hell is this?
The
same gear, different makeup, different hair.
Because she didn't do the hair pinned up. It's just out and probably extensions.
I don't like that. Done.
You need to stick to the pin up thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks better.
Hair up and square up.
Yeah. And there are too many platinum blondes. She looks like every other platinum blonde, which is something I noticed when I was watching the Royal Rumble and with somebody who doesn't watch very often. She goes, all these blondes are the same. They're all the same. Yeah, you can't differentiate them. Blondes look all the same.
We had Mandy Rose. We had Michelle McCool.
Kelly Kelly.
When Trish got in there.
Even Trish is
she's a little darker.
A little darker now.
She's a little
too many friggin' blondes.
Yeah. Anyway.
Keep it the way it was. Why play with it?
Because it was different. It was, new, but it was different. It separated her from everybody else.
Right. Now she looks like everybody else.
Yeah, suck it. We already talked about next week's matches. Sanity and the Undisputed Era is in two different matches.
Yeah.
NXT titles and then the one-on-one. TM61 re-debuting against the Ely Brothers. It's good to see the Ely Brothers back on NXT.
They're
TV.
Looking good. They're really looking good. They may not have picked up a W tonight, but you've from... When we first seen them to now, there's a definite change, a definite evolution. They were able to work Twin Magic tonight.
The fact that Twin Magic has become a thing is really silly.
That's the thing now.
Ely Brothers, you can look, but you can't touch. Anyway, but TM61, they didn't, even with that switch, they didn't slow down at all.
No.
And they're back on track. The only thing that I'm a little bit concerned about is it was a similar... They have, I think, from time being away, they're not focused on the here and now. They're like, yeah, we're back to as good as we were, but they're not like... The tag team division has changed to a point where they need to update themselves. They need to evolve.
What do they need to do?
That's the thing, is we haven't seen them... I think we've seen them fight the Ely brothers, and the Ely brothers have changed and evolved. But we need to see them fight Heavy Machinery. We need to see them fight Street Profits. We need to see some of the new tag teams on the scene and to see how they can change themselves.
I think that's a matter of time.
That's honestly the thing, is we just need a little bit more time, because this was a, and I use this term loosely, sorry Michael Cole, this was like classic NXT TM61, and we need to see, all right, now that you've picked your flag back up, what's the next stop?
Yeah. Okay.
Not that it was bad. It was just more TM61.
I think it was just,
I'm excited for where they're going
to
go.
I think it was trying to be a reminder of why we liked them in the first place.
Sure.
You know, power, speed, precision, athleticism. They have all of that. So that's why you like them. So here's a reminder. Now we can actually get some wear with that.
The Ely's team with Brennan Williams on house shows, and I can't...
Brennan Williams.
I know Brennan Williams.
Yeah.
And I can't wait till they debut as a group. They dress like Final Fight street toughs.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
I've heard about that. we were talking about that earlier.
Is that what you were talking about?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, and he's got the mane, too?
Yeah.
He's got a nice... Yes. Sorry, nice head of hair.
Yes.
Man, Ely's versus Street Profits would be good. A lot of people versus Street Profits will be good all the time. Thank you very much. But the main event, which I've been concerned about since they put Gargano in there, but the number one contendership for the United Kingdom Championship, Tyler Bate versus Roderick Strong. This was wild. We were expecting it to go 30 minutes, even though they had 20 left, but it ended up going like 12.
Yeah. But a tight 12.
This is a fast-paced, smack 'em if you got 'em. That's a new phrase.
Yeah, smack 'em if you got 'em.
Sort of breakneck. They had to.
Yeah.
They had so much energy exploding out of each other. Smack 'em if you got 'em. See, Bill's here in spirit. I want the meat. I need the meat. Speaking of meat. Everybody gave him legs.
Oh my God.
Tyler Bate
can't even run.
No.
The one time he tried to, it's like a really fast waddle.
Yeah.
His legs get in his way.
Yeah.
I think Roderick Strong.
Thighs were touching.
Roderick Strong actually is probably one of the best opponents for Tyler Bate.
I can agree with that.
Because of the fact that he targets the back, and that is one of the things that Bate relies on so heavily, especially for the Tyler driver, is his base of strength being the lower back. Granted, his legs are there, but when you have a low center of gravity to begin with, you don't necessarily pick up with your legs as much as you do your core, which again includes the back. So yeah. With all of the backbreakers, he wasn't able to deliver on the Tyler driver. Mm-hmm. And that worked, I mean, really well to Roderick's advantage. These two would make a really good tag team if given the opportunity. They're similar but different enough to be interesting. So yeah. It's interesting seeing them together.
And man, those backbreakers were doing their work. And Tyler Bate was, man, despite taking those bad pings into his back, he was still operating at least 110% efficiency, which is wild.
He's a machine.
He is.
I mean, he's only 21?
Yes.
20? 21?
21.
Which means that he's too young to know that this is all going to hurt someday. And he's really enjoying youth. So I'm enjoying him enjoying being young and exuberant. Someday he will be old and broken, and he'll go, you know what I used to do?
Yeah, 26.
I used to do all this crazy stuff.
He's going to be old and broken at 26.
Well, it's the younger you start, the earlier you burn out.
Yeah.
You always have to remember that. That's page 2.
I think he's going to...
Sad.
No.
Yeah.
I thought you're like PAGE like, no, page two, no. not the wrestler page
That's
as
page
well.
Page as well.
Yeah. In a surprising turn of events, Roderick Strong gets the win. He's the new number one contender. We don't know where that match is going to happen, but it's going to be fire.
Probably. I mean, it has to
maybe
be
TV.
In the United States.
Well, you shut your damn... I hate you so much. If it's going to happen at TakeOver New Orleans, or if it's going to happen on NXT television at Full Sail University
TV.
In Florida.
Probably TV.
Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Glad we got that cleared up. But that match is going to be ridiculous, and we're looking forward to it.
But I just want to say that Roderick Strong in-ring reminds me of what Johnny Gargano lacks. Because watching him, he's fired up. When he was on, when he finally got back up and in control, he was on fire.
It's not just setting up, it's firing up.
Yeah.
Because like Johnny took the moment to be like, I'm going to kick him.
Yeah.
But he wasn't like, I'm going to kick you in the... Like, yeah. It was more to the crowd. Hey, everybody, be excited. I'm going to kick him, not tunnel vision.
Right.
I'm going to kick you in the face.
Yep. That's it, right there.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, I'm going to kick him instead of, I am going to kick you!
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the difference.
So please complain in the comments down below.
Complain at me. I don't give a... I don't care. I'm right. What do I have to worry about?
Much like El Idolo himself, he is right.
I am right. I told you.
Excited to see how Roderick Strong fares on 205 Live next week in the tournament for the number one...
I think he's
going
to actually have a pretty good go of it. He's been wrestling above his weight class, which means he can control guys who are below his weight class like we saw
with
Tyler Bate
tonight. Yeah, he almost completely flipped Bate over.
Yeah. And it's one thing to have strength. It's another thing to control it.
Yeah.
And he's definitely got the strength. He just has to learn to control a little bit better with smaller guys. But that being said, his moveset works on guys above 205 and below 205. So he should have a pretty good time. He's just got to watch out for the high flyers.
I wonder if this is going to be like a hard debut. Well, it can't. Well, even if he is, the UK Championship is in flux. So I actually expect to see a UK Championship defense on 205 Live. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
But I think because there's no UK like show yet, I don't think that this necessarily has to count as a hard or a soft debut.
Yeah.
Like, and oh, and by the way, Roderick Strong is just on 205 Live now.
Right.
So,
I mean, Tyler Bate did appear on 205 talking about the new
and he's in the tournament.
General manager of
205. And he's in the tournament.
Right.
So Drake Maverick.
Drake Maverick.
What a name.
Boom.
Yeah.
He'll sell you a used car.
Yes, he will. And he'll be really loud about it. Hey, Philadelphia. So we're going to talk more next week. I can't believe we fit that all into about 45 minutes.
Yeah, we just shoved it in there.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Shove them if you got them. And Oh, no. Bill's going to be back next week. We're going to talk about the NXT Awards and the road to TakeOver. Road to TakeOver New Orleans. But until then, Hobo, where can the folks find you?
You can find me on the Twitter and the Instagram at TrueHobo. NXTeam.Spreadshirt.com is where you can get the shirts such
like
as that
one.
Ain't that a beauty?
It's a good one.
Soapbox Car TV on the YouTubes is where you can find my videos, and I suggest you do if you want to know more about who this Robert Baines is.
And I'm Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. You can find Bill Hanstock at Sundown Motel. Also check out his stuff on Uprocks.com and his other podcast, McMansplaining, which is one of the best wrestling named podcasts ever. Also check out X-Pac 12360. Today we got to talk a little bit about the Royal Rumble and NXT TakeOver as well, and also Ken Anderson was our guest, and it was a wonderful conversation with him. If you like video games, follow me on Twitch at InventoryFullPT. I streamed 2K18 a little while ago and it went over pretty well, so I might do it again soon, and I might have somebody else do it with me. Thank you for watching the NXT After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. We will see you at Full Sail.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.